Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. If I were to add up all the time that I spent in school, from elementary school, middle school, high school, college, and seminary, if I added all that up, I've spent 23 years of my life as a student. I'm only 42 years old. That means more than half of my life I've been a student, which means I've taken lots and lots and lots and lots of tests and done lots and lots and lots of homework and done projects and papers and essays and everything, right? 23 years of being a student. But it wasn't until I was in seminary that I experienced a new form of exam, testing. When I got to seminary, I got to experience for the first time the oral exam, where you just sign up for a little 15, 20 minute slot with your teacher, with your professor, and you go to his or her office, and it's just you and him or her, one-on-one, nowhere to hide, no multiple choice, maybe I'll just get lucky, see. No essay where you can, you know, write a bunch of flowery stuff to make it sound like you know a lot more than you really do. No, when you're face to face with your professor, no classmates around, nobody to help you. In that moment, you're either prepared or you're not. In the gospel today, Jesus tells this parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. In order to understand what Jesus is trying to say in this parable, you have to understand the cultural and historical context of how weddings were celebrated during the time of Jesus. What would normally happen is, the first step is that a couple would be betrothed. There'd be the betrothal. It's kind of like an engagement, except a betrothal was a very formal thing, and once you were betrothed, then you would still need a bill of divorce to separate. But during the time of betrothal, which could often be up to a year in length, the girl still lived with her family, and the groom still lived with his family. Side note, that's because you don't live together before you get married. Anyway, so the bride's with her family, the groom's with his family, and then when it came time for the wedding ceremony, it always began at night. And what would happen is, if you were a bridesmaid, you'd go to the bride's house, that's the 10 virgins, there are these 10 bridesmaids. They would go to the bride's house and wait for the coming of the bridegroom, the groom to come. The groom would leave his house at night, and he'd come to his bride's house and then escort her with the 10 bridesmaids and their lamps, because it's night, there's no street lamps at that time, right? And they would escort the bride and the groom to where the wedding was going to be celebrated. So if you were a bridesmaid, you had an important role in this. You were there to wait at the bride's house, the groom shows, and you don't know exactly when the groom's gonna show up, right? There's no cell phones, no one's got watches. You just kinda know at some point during the night he's gonna show up. So when you show up as a bridesmaid, you better be prepared with enough oil to keep your lamp going all night long. Because it'd be really embarrassing if you're in this procession with the bride and the groom, and then all of a sudden your lamp goes out because you didn't bring enough oil. That's the cultural context, okay? And what I want to focus on from this parable is this one part right here. When the bridegroom finally shows up, who's been long delayed, and everybody wakes up, and the wise ones, the five wise bridesmaids, the five wise virgins, they trim their lamps because they brought enough oil to keep the light going. But the foolish ones say this, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and you." I want to focus on this. Isn't that kind of mean? What's the point of the parable? Like, Jesus, like, aren't Christians, we're supposed to be charitable and generous, help people out who are in need, right, Jesus? Why are you lifting up these wise virgins for being selfish and greedy? Here's the truth of this parable. It's impossible to share your oil. It's not that the wise virgins didn't want to share their oil. They couldn't share their oil because of what the oil symbolizes in this parable. The coming of the bridegroom is the coming of Jesus, the second coming of Christ, when each of us one day at the end of our lives will meet Jesus face to face, either at his second coming or at my own death. And that oil symbolizes my life of faith, my life of good works, my life of repentance, my life of prayer, my living the Christian life. And ultimately, that's what's going to lead me to the wedding celebration of heaven. Heaven in the Bible is often described as this great wedding celebration between Christ and the church, the marriage of Christ and the church. And only those who are prepared are going to be allowed to enter. Prepared with enough oil, i.e., prepared with a Christian life, a life of virtue, a life of faith, a life of good works, a life of repentance. That's why the wise virgins can't give the oil to the foolish ones. At the end of the day, I can't give you my faith. I can't give you my good works. We're called to share our faith, absolutely. We're called to invite people to come follow Christ, to live a life of good works, to store up that oil in their lives. But I can't force you. Faith can never be forced. Each one of us individually has to say yes to that call to come and follow Christ. That's why they couldn't give it, because you can't share that at the end of the day. Because that means when my time comes and I stand face to face to Jesus and I knock on that door of the kingdom of heaven, that, my friends, in that moment is the ultimate oral exam. In that moment, nobody can help me. Father Park can't help me in that moment. You can't help me in that moment when I stand before God. Your super faithful wife, who's like a saint, super Catholic, she can't help you either. Oh, my grandparents, they were so devout, they were so holy. Yeah, they can't help you either in that moment. It's the ultimate oral exam. You stand before God, and what kind of oil do I have? Do I still have oil in my lamp? Is my torch of faith still burning bright, or did I let it burn out through my life? The fundamental point of this parable is that we must always be prepared. The wise virgins were prepared. The foolish ones were not. All throughout our lives, we have to strive to be prepared because, as Jesus says, you know neither the day nor the hour. I don't know when my time will come to an end and I stand face to face with the Lord. And so a great practical suggestion I'd have to how do we grow in living that life of being daily prepared to keep that oil stock filled so our light of faith can keep burning, a very practical way we can do this is by every single night making an examination of conscience. Just taking 90 seconds, 2 minutes before I go to bed to examine my day. I made it to the end of the day, still alive, Jesus hasn't come back yet. Okay, let's reflect on my day and see, did I live this day prepared? Did I live this day prepared? Did I pray today? Or is this the first time I'm praying all day long? Did I receive a sacrament today. You know, if it's a Sunday night, hopefully I was at Mass that day. You know, when was the last time I went to confession? How did I love today? How did I serve today? How did I interact with my family, my kids, my friends, my classmates, my coworkers, my neighbors, etc.? Was I loving? Was I forgiving? Was I charitable? And in those moments, I go, Lord, you know what? I failed here, I failed here, I failed here. We ask for God's mercy, and we say, Lord, help me tomorrow to be more prepared. Something I pray every single night before I go to bed, I say, Lord, help me to seek you all the more tomorrow. May I be all the more prepared to meet you tomorrow than I was today. Stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The time will come for all of us when we have that ultimate oral exam, one-on-one, where I stand before God. And only those who will be welcome into the kingdom of heaven are those who come before God. They come ready. They come prepared by living a life all throughout our life, a life of faith, good works, repentance. Today, as we celebrate the Eucharist, let's ask for the grace that we could do that. That we could be like the wise virgins and store up the oil of faith and good works in our lives so that when my time comes and I stand before God, I'm ready, I'm prepared. And when I knock, he'll say, I know you. Come on in.